Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF.
Thanks for joining us again this week on Help and Hope, and hopefully we have a lot of help with this week. My name is Andrew Ray, and working the wordplay, and I'm joined by
Julie Lowe
and Mike Emlett.
And thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
How are you guys feeling?
Good.
Doing well.
Yeah. Anybody have Starbucks this morning?
Of course.
No.
No. Okay.
I like Starbucks.
Yeah.
But
Wawa,
I made some coffee at home.
Okay. You made coffee at home. Yes. Do you guys grind some of your favorite coffee?
I made my own kind of blend. It's a combination of Starbucks House and Maxwell House French Roast Decaf.
Oh, so like 50-50?
Yeah.
So it's less caffeine.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Our cappuccino machine broke.
Oh,
that
that's a
wedding.
Sad thing.
That's why I did Starbucks today.
That's a sad
thing.
That is
sad. I got my wife a cappuccino machine.
I love them.
And she loves it, but it's not drawing correctly right now. So I don't have any experience in fixing cappuccino machines, so we'll see what happens with that. But I'm drinking those Starbucks Via, the instant coffees. They're not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you certainly don't want to live on those things, but... they're not that bad. And we are not sponsored by Starbucks, just so everyone out there knows.
I've seen you rip off the top of those and just pour them into your mouth, Andrew.
We fund Starbucks.
Being more efficient, I see.
There are times when I probably need to do that, and it's good that I don't anymore. Let's see here. So I got a personal question for you guys. Is there a scripture that is ministering to you personally these days, right now?
Yeah, I've been hanging out in Psalm 116, I'll read a few verses. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. And then later on in verse 4, then I called on the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Just really been meditating on that in terms of how quickly do I turn? You know, when do I cry out, oh God, save me? Mm-hmm. Or is that only in like extremes? Or is that my daily habit, moment by moment? So I've really been struck by that psalm.
Yeah, nice. Julie?
I often go back to Lamentations 3 and how there's this turning in Lamentations towards the goodness of God, God's character. And though he brings grief, yet will he show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. But I often quote to my kids that his mercies are new every morning. There's a fresh start. And Lamentations 3 talks about that every morning his mercies are new. Just a reminder of his goodness there in the fresh start of every day.
This week we're going to talk a little bit about depression and meaninglessness. We had a question from a parent that goes like this. You know, they're wondering, how do I save my depressed teenager who is going back to school? Currently, the teen doesn't have any motivation and refuses to do anything. He thinks everything is pointless. And that's where their question ends. So it's this sense of pointlessness, life without meaning. And we certainly find that in our culture today because all the things that are supposed to give us meaning don't seem to be of great value. And it's like we know that inside. Even the Apostle Paul says we know that, you know, but we forget it. We become blind to it, calloused. So where do we start with someone like that?
Go ahead, Julie.
My mind goes in many different directions, but on a very simple, practical level, I think, what are the things that are going to help them get through the day? Like, how do you give them a vision, the greater vision for finding meaning outside himself, outside the vanity of this world and life? But then there's the day-to-day. What gets them through today? What gives them hope and meaning? How can I convince my son that today's a day worth walking through? Even if it's just little baby steps.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think I'd I'd want to make sure that this parent understands, or that someone's trying to understand, like, why this this boy is. Why does he feel that life is pointless, is meaningless? What are some of the roots of his depression? Mm. Are there things that sufferings that he's experienced that that they've basically overwhelmed his sense of God's purposes in life? Has he had certain cherished dreams that were dashed? So I guess I'd like to understand a lot more about the roots. You know, is he angry? Is he fearful of his depression? So that then I can, in a sense, tailor my response.
Hmm. Yeah, and is there anything in school that contributes to it? I mean, there's some kind of assumption that something has sparked all of this, that has led to the downward spiral. And it's brutal being a teenager mm-hmm. these days. They're dealing with issues that appear more difficult than we ever had to deal with. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I'd be interested to know if he's ever looked at the book of Ecclesiastes, because that's really how Ecclesiastes starts. Life is basically pointless. It's mm-hmm. it's a vapor. It's meaningless, and I think you just sense the futility of life throughout that book until you get to the end and you see the framing of it is, well, here's the whole duty of man: fear God and keep His commandments. And I think that apart from that greater vision, it's actually pretty natural that we would become cynical, depressed, despairing, hopeless without that, because hope comes from outside of us, not from within us.
Yes.
Yeah. I think of that hymn, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Look Full in His Wonderful Face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." And for many of us, the things of earth grow huge. They take up our vision. And the real hope, the greater hope, is that those things are dim in the light of who God is and His character. And teenagers just need that kind of vision. Kids do. We do. We need that kind of vision that God's a faithful, good God to turn to. Mm. And that's so much greater and bigger than the world we live in.
Mm-hmm. And that even at this age in his life, God is actually inviting him to go on mission with himself, you know, to reconcile the world. So there's this call to to get us outside of ourselves, and that call to be used of God or to have significant kingdom impact doesn't happen when you turn 21 or 35 or 45. That's our call as redeemed image bearers, and so that's something I'd want to see if we could build that greater vision for life.
Yeah, speaking to the mother here for a moment, instead of just the teenager. As a youth pastor and as a teacher before that, I frequently saw and heard from parents who would say, when my child turned 13, they stopped talking to me. And you certainly have different life events in teenagers mm-hmm. that can cause those kind of turning in on themselves. I saw it more as a problem that started at 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 years old, and the conversations just started to wane. Life got busy, and the intentional time with mm-hmm. the teenagers just wasn't there. Mm-hmm. I don't think the communication valve shuts off at one age. Right. And so I'm wondering, for a parent, but it's not like the hope is gone. For a parent to restart those conversations every day mm-hmm. rather than just, you ask, how are you doing? Fine. Mm-hmm. What'd you do at school today? Nothing. You know, how do you encourage parents to restart those conversations with their children, even if they're, if there's a cold, thick wall between them in terms of communication? Is there, are there ways you can start that with your children?
I think one is empathy. You just say, I'm so sorry you're hurting and where you're at, and I want to hear. And will the teen respond that day? Probably not. But after maybe the eighth time or the 12th time that is said, and there's a genuine waiting and a desire to hear and listen, you start to break down those walls or those barriers. Mm-hmm. You start to melt whatever is in between the two of you. And that's just an intentional pursuing. Mm-hmm. That can't be a sitting back and waiting for your teen to come to you. That's you actively pursuing your kids, saying, I love you, I want to know you, I want to understand your pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good word. It's, you're talking about a consistent pursuit that may not bear fruit for a little while, and that's, and to, but to be pursuing your child, I think it's, it can be helpful too to potentially do some activities together where the focus isn't on let's have a deep conversation here, but let's do something in life together that becomes a shared experience that may or may not at that time lead to conversation. But I mean, what's this teen's favorite bands? You know, who's he listening to? And could you go to a concert? Or there, I think there are places where you could try to connect without it being a deep conversation in that moment.
Yeah. And I love what you guys both brought out during this time, which was hope not being inside us, but our hope comes from outside us. And therein is our great distinction between biblical counseling, CCEF, and the world and psychology, which says I'm my own savior. I need to just believe there needs to be changes in my thought process or my behaviors. Mm-hmm. But we know as believers in Jesus Christ that our hope comes from him outside of us, and that is a great hope. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about CCEF and its resources, visit us on the web at ccef.org.